Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, we back, baby. Let's go.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Lawrence has taken a couple days off. He is out today. I am Hub Arkish, going to be with you for the next couple hours.
Got Olin Krutz and Anthony Heron on 670 The Door sitting in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I am Matt Spiegel. I'm in for Lawrence Holmes.
Make me a bicycle clown.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah! Time to play the game.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock today. I'm so happy to be back on the airwaves. I'm happy. Yeah! Done with vacation. Now we can get to the business of, it's not even the second half of the season, the continuing the second quarter of the season for the Chicago Bears. What a weird time for a bye. I think most coaches would like to have it closer to the end of the year than the beginning, but we'll see. Maybe it'll end up being a good thing for the Bears to have it. Tony, don't take the music away because this is my favorite part. This is when Triple H does the water as his own pyro as he walks out to the ring. And he turns around to the crowd. And he spits the water up. And you know it's time to play the game. All right, now you can fade it out. That's right, Lemmy. It is time to play the game. So we have a lot of stuff that we're going to get into on today's show. I'm going to have a conversation with Tony and Campy about why Zach LaVine doesn't want to shoot three-pointers instead of mid-range shots, and that whole discussion that ended up going entirely around the NBA. Joe Maddon has a new job. He is now the manager of the Angels. Joe doesn't seek my counsel. If he were to seek my counsel, I would have been like, you sure? You sure you want to take that job right now? I mean, I get it. You worked for that organization for 31 years, but right now, not great to take that job for a couple of reasons. But he is back, and apparently he is happy. So we will talk a little bit about that on the show. Why LeBron keeps double and tripling down. We might get to that before we are all said and done. But we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
When did you need that rundown by?
As soon as possible.
Okay.
Just get it right.
Yeah, gotcha. Of course. I'm going to dive in to the rundown.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, October 16th. It wasn't even a gentleman's sweep with the Nationals. They just ran all over the Cardinals.
In the air, center field. This should do it. Robles will squeeze it, and there it is! The Washington Nationals are National League champions! There will be a World Series in D.C.
Yeah, there will be. And I wonder how they're going to do this first pitch thing. Like, maybe you go Katie Ledecky. Maybe you bring Pedro. You bring in some of the ex-Expos to have them, but the Nationals have kind of disassociated themselves with the Expos. So we'll see what they end up doing first pitch. I will tell you that I have a lot of playoff envy. I did a whole podcast about it today. Like, this is the first time in 3 years as a White Sox fan I was watching the playoffs and I was mad. There's a whole LoHo Daily about it. If you want to go check that out, you can on the radio.com app. Over in the American League, the Astros get a little bit of control.
1-2. Left side. Bregman gloves, throws, and got him. A dig out by Gurriel. And the Astros win game three, a final of 4-1.
Game four has been postponed because of weather. And it looks like that could actually kind of mess up a couple of things. Like SmackDown, the Northwestern game, all of it might get moved because of game four of the ALCS. Houston leads that series 2-1. There was news at Halas Hall that we should discuss, and Tony did a really good job of going through the coaches to keep you updated on what's happening with his team and some of the impact that we're going to see because of injury. Let's start with offensive line coach Harry Hiestand talking about Kyle Long going on injured reserve and what they will now do to replace him.
You have the a guy with, you know, all that talent and excitement, loves the game, and it just, you know, wasn't able to hold up. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. Like Coach said, you know, we've got three guys that were experienced with Ted Larson and two younger guys in Rashad and Alex, and we'll work through that.
Okay, I mean, I don't think Kyle Long was a problem, but I don't think he was the only problem on the Bears offensive line. And I would say if you look to the outside with the tight ends on this team, that has been a struggle. So we will see whether Ted Larson gets an opportunity or if they go with Coward in that spot and maybe they can get their run game going. Mark DeLone, this is something that I almost feel like we should drop the music, Tony. So the inside linebackers coach is like, no. I know what it looked like in London against Oakland, but Roquan was great.
He's been great through the process, and you know he's not changed at all. I mean, honestly, he's been the same guy every day.
So you don't think he's the type of guy that whatever he's got going on would affect his play on the field, or is that just human nature that it possibly could?
No, I mean, to me, like Coach said, it was a personal issue. Mm-hmm. I found out about it when I got this. I mean, to me, like, there's been no change. Okay. I thought he played pretty good. I thought he played his best game since the Green Bay game. So I was proud of him. He had a lot of tackles, had a big one on the first play of the game, and made them throughout. So had a couple of really good fallback tackles in the run game. I was proud of him. I thought he played really good, and I'm excited for what's going to come here.
Oh, okay.
Bam.
Yeah. Right now, we're all the meme of my man just kind of going, I don't know about all that. But that's what their inside linebackers coach says. He sees the tape. I just only have the all-22 stuff. I saw a linebacker that was playing tentative and backing away from contact and all sorts of other stuff. But he's the expert. Speaking of experts, quarterback coach Dave Ragone had this to say about how to handle Mitch's injury.
When you're dealing with a throwing shoulder, that's always a whole different animal. Obviously, it's your livelihood depends on it. When it's a non-throwing shoulder, right, that's obviously in the back of your mind, it just plays out different. But in terms of coming back from an injury, yeah, sure, absolutely. There's always constant conversation physically, mentally, making sure you're on the same page, making sure you're going out there not thinking about it. Yeah, I think going through what we've been through with him already, that's obviously going to be one of the things we look for when he gets back to practice and making sure he's operating physically and mentally at 100%.
Okay, and he was there Monday. We will see what the official word is on Trubisky in practice. And if he speaks today, we will take you to Halas Hall and we will let you hear from the Bears QB1. Jay Rogers, who coaches the defensive line for the Bears, talked about how the defensive line and the defense overall will miss Akeem Hicks, who is out on IR with the chance to return in 8 weeks with a gruesome elbow injury.
I don't know all the details of all that stuff, but at the end of the day, he'll heal up and he'll be ready to go.
Okay.
His mentality, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to miss anything because he's going to be with us. But in terms of being out there on the field, you know, his mentality, his toughness, all those kind of things, those are the things that he really prides himself on. You know, he's a nasty player. He loves to play physical, all those kind of things. So we got a good group. We have guys who will step into those roles and play well.
Having him on the field is really, really important. And I get that he is going to be in your locker room and you want guys to be around. That's fine. But don't act as if that guy on the field isn't as important as he is. We need to take a break. It looks like Mitch is going to talk, and we are going to bring that to you after we take a timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you are listening to The Score.
The next guy up mentality is real. I mean, there's a reason why we build the roster the way we build it, because we feel like we have good football players here. So, you know, we didn't have Akeem for the Minnesota game. I thought we played pretty well in the Minnesota game. So it's all about understanding what your job is, what your role is, how to execute under pressure, and doing what we do. You know, we're not asking anybody to go outside of the framework of the defense. We're not asking anybody to do something extra special. We're asking you to do your job, because you're 1/11th of the defense.
That's Bears defensive line coach Jay Rogers talking about the impact of Akeem Hicks. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm back from vacation at a wonderful time out west and here. I took a couple days for myself. You know, it's the first time I ever did this where, like, after a vacation, I built in time at home. So I had to, like, kind of slowly get myself back into show mode. I came back on Saturday, just kind of relaxed, hung out with my nieces and nephews. And Sunday, I watched the NFL all day, which was great. Then Monday, I did the show with Dave Wannstedt on NBC Sports Chicago, which we do every Monday. And we broke down Saints tape, and it was really cool because Dave was giving me all sorts of little tricks and tips and all sorts of stuff. And then yesterday, I recorded the podcast. By the way, I'm still doing House of L. I know I have like 100 podcasts, but I still do House of L. And I had one of my favorite comedians on it, Gary Goldman. It was really good. And if you saw Joker, he's actually one of the comedians in Joker. He told me a really good Joaquin Phoenix story. So House of L podcast, just search for it, subscribe, rate it, give it 5 stars. 5 stars! Like Booker T, 5 stars. But it was a really cool conversation. We talked about his thing, The Great Depression, his HBO special, which is awesome. And I think that you would really enjoy it. I might even cut off and bring back that chunk about Joaquin Phoenix because it was really funny. It was only like 90 seconds. But now we're back in game week. Bears getting ready to play the Saints coming up, and they're going to play the Saints without Akeem Hicks, the guy who collapses the middle of that line. He does a great job of doing it. I think he has been one of the most underappreciated Bears players in a long time. And I think the impact could be significant with him definitely missing 8 games and possibly missing the rest of the season. So I wanted to reach out to our buddy, Big Ant Heron, who joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Big Ant is one of our experts here. You can hear him hosting shows, even when sitting in for me last week. He and Olin did an incredible show that I got a chance to listen to while I was out hiking in Arizona. So I'm glad that I've got you here, Ant, because there's a lot of questions here. How big is the impact of Akeem Hicks not being available?
It's enormous because I think it will attack sort of multiple levels of how the Bears operate. You know, tangibly, you've got one of the better interior defensive linemen in the National Football League. The productivity that he brings to the table goes beyond his sacks and his tackles for loss. Just a man of his size who's willing to do the grunt work, who's willing to do the dirty work of eating up blocks. He's also available and able to have the fun of avoiding blocks and making plays on the opposing side of the line of scrimmage. And that's not a common combination for guys in the NFL who can really do both as effectively as Akeem Hicks has been able to begin doing both of those things. You quite often have block eaters, and then, you know, when the playmaking's ready to happen, you bring in some other guy. You know, like Aaron Donald's not a block eater at all. Aaron Donald doesn't really help his linebackers very much behind him. Now, he's a guy who has the ability to make most of the plays himself when he penetrates because he's so nimble. But he's not a block eater. Akeem Hicks is both a block eater and a playmaker. He's able to combine those skills at a really high level. So you lose that tangible of Akeem Hicks on the football field. What you lose intangibly is a guy who's turned into the heartbeat of the Bears defense. He's a player who, because of his girth, his size, But then still to be able to combine that with a level of passion that he plays with, you tend to see, you look at teams around the NFL and you tend to see them when there's a great player on the interior, especially when it's a guy who's an emotional and vocal leader, that's who guys tend to gravitate towards. You know, when you think about those Buccaneers defenses, Warren Sapp was the vocal and emotional leader of those defenses. Aaron Donald is certainly the vocal and emotional leader of the Rams defense currently. J.J. Watt, you know, for whatever reason, whatever it is, I mean, you know, it's not like there's defenses who don't have leaders who aren't the really big guys, but people tend to, in the sport of football, gravitate towards the really big guy who's also a great player, who's also passionate, who's also vocal. That's what Akiem Hicks embodies for this Bears defense. And so they lose that. Now, does it mean that, you know, the Avengers aren't still going to be able to go out there and wreck shop when folks come in town? No, but it's a significant loss because you lose both those elements that have been so key, so vital, and so consistent in what they've done in this great defense in recent years.
Yeah, but it's always better with the Avengers when you have a Hulk. It's always right. better when you have one of those guys. I always love to talk about defense and football in general in the form of allocation of resources. And when I look at the Bears defense without Akiem Hicks, if I'm an offensive coach, I go, okay, this allows us to change the way we allocate our resources. And now we can put a lot of attention onto Khalil Mack. Now, ordinarily, I would say that's great because it means that guys like Roy Robertson-Harris is going to be able to eat if Bilal Nichols is out there. It's going to give him a chance. Eddie Goldman, who I think is an underappreciated guy, is going to give him a chance. But the guy that I feel like I need to see that from is Leonard Floyd. What's happened to Leonard Floyd where it looked like the arrow was really pointing up in the last eight games of last season, and it hasn't quite been the same level of production that we saw with him this year?
Because he doesn't play the Green Bay Packers every week.
It's true.
For whatever reason, his best games, his most stellar work, the largest percentage of his productivity from a playmaking standpoint has come against the Packers. I don't know what it is, if it's the rivalry thing or what, but he really, really gets his playmaking going. His chili runs hot when he sees Green Bay. It still seems to run fairly hot against other folks. It's not at the same level as it does when he plays the Packers. And I would say that overall, he's been fine this season. I mean, you look at the majority of the game in London, he was really one of the more active defenders on the field as far as chasing the ball, as far as, you know, diving, playing with energy, knocking it back at the point of attack. You know, it got to a certain point where the Raiders was just kind of pushing everyone around on the field out there. But he didn't necessarily play badly. He's just not a consistently impactful player from a splash standpoint week in and week out. You know, he did some nice things against the run. He doesn't consistently rush the quarterback at a high level, and this is something I constantly remind folks of, is that when you draft a guy, especially at the level in the top 10 where the Bears draft a guy like Leonard Floyd, and the hope is that he's going to become a dominant edge rusher, if that's not what he showed on film going through major college football, then it's really hard to project that a guy will come into the National Football League and then suddenly become a dominant edge rusher. There's not only a craft to be learned to it. It's not only about just to be able to contort your body and to be able to work the outside third or outside quarter of guys and some of the things that can be explained. There are just certain guys who have a far more innate ability to consistently rush the quarterback, to consistently affect the passer. And that's just not something that Leonard Floyd has shown throughout his career. The good thing is, though, is that he is opposite Khalil Mack. And so having Mack on the opposing side made that Mack deal. It did alleviate some of the pressure. You know, I'd even say a lot of the pressure on Leonard Floyd to consistently be a dominant pass rusher because you do have that edge guy on the opposing side. But you would like more consistently than we've seen at this point in the season for him to get hits on the QB, for him to affect the quarterback, for him to be a guy whose imprint is at least being felt by the opposing pocket. After we got past those opening couple of games, because he continued to play well in the Denver game as well, the initial games of the season, he was being felt in the opposing backfield. That effect seems to have diminished as each week has gone on. And coming off the bye week, he's a guy that I agree, you certainly need to feel more of an imprint, because from a grade standpoint, I believe when they're looking at the film, Leonard Floyd is grading out fine from an assignment standpoint, but a player of his talents, you want him, while he's not ever going to be Khalil Mack, you want him to be a guy whose imprint will be felt statistically, splash play wise, you know, getting some more, if not sacks, some more hits on the quarterback, some more tackles for loss, batting down more passes, just things that will show themselves more than what we've seen here in recent weeks.
Talking Bears football with Anthony Heron here on The Score, one of our insiders, one of our Bears experts. You can watch Anthony on Fox 32. You can see him on the Pac-12 network. You can hear him when he's not doing stuff for us over on XM Sirius Big Ten with our buddy Jason Goff. I'm curious, Anthony, if there's anything that other teams can gain from watching the Oakland tape, and understanding that not every team has an offensive line that averages 340 pounds a guy, but is there anything that the Saints can take from what they saw the offensive line of the Raiders do to the Bears last week?
Well, they can certainly look at the film and say, you know what, that Bears defensive front at least looks vulnerable. When you consider the fact that not having Akeem Hicks on the field, the depth that they have on the interior, it's something that looked great against the Vikings where you didn't have Akeem Hicks out there as well, but it's a different thing. This is something that Ola and I were talking about. We were filling in for you last week. It's a different thing when you have the frontline starters out there taking the bulk of the reps, being the bulk of the opposing game plan, because when you're looking at individual traits or tendencies from an opponent schematically, and then individual players beyond that, you can really only devote so much time into really honing in on the details of it. So there are just certain guys. You're going to game plan around a Mack. You're going to game plan around a Hicks. You're going to know where Eddie Jackson, you know, likes to react to footballs in certain quadrants of the coverage when the Bears are rolling in a certain manner. There's certain guys out there you're going to game plan around. Now that Akeem Hicks isn't out there, now that Bilal Nichols will be playing with what I assume will be some sort of a Q-tip club type of apparatus on his hand, now you just get to be able to focus your attention more on the second level of that Bears depth, because now Roy Robertson-Harris will get more of your attention, snap in and snap out. Now that Bilal Nichols is back in the lineup and Akeem Hicks isn't next to him and he's playing with a Q-tip on his hand, you can react to him in a different manner. You can anticipate that perhaps he won't be able to hold up at the point of attack with the same level of force and power that he did in the past. And he is one of those guys who, even though he was sort of a two-gapper in his collegiate scheme, he came into the NFL very quickly and was able to make the transition into being a penetrator, a guy on the opposing side of the line of scrimmage. When you look at the tape from what happened in London, after the Oakland Raiders started getting into the legs of Eddie Goldman a few times, he seemed to start to back up off the ball a little bit. He seemed to be a guy that wasn't firing into that opposing blocker, that blocking surface over and over again. He started backing up a little bit. That's not something that we've seen as a consistent trait throughout Eddie Goldman's career, but it certainly seemed to be there against the Raiders after they got into his legs a little bit. Those are the types of things that when they show up on film, then you're likely to see more and more opponents attempt to put you in the same somewhat more passive temperament that they would want you to be in.
Yeah, and Oakland was definitely, they were right on the line with those. I thought it was effective coaching, and they were playing to the letter of the rule. Like, and I know the defensive linemen hate that. They hate guys coming at their legs, and it could be an issue going forward. Anthony, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for jumping on and giving your insight.
You got it, Lawrence. Talk to you soon, bro.
That is Big Ann Heron, one of our Bears experts here on The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. If you're like, man, I just came in on Anthony. Like, what happened? Guess what? We actually now have a new app or an update to the radio.com app where you can actually rewind live radio. It's pretty cool. It's got like the DVR type settings to it. If you update your radio.com, like if you're listening to me on radio.com now, update the app and you can fast forward. Technically you can fast forward after you've rewound and you can listen to stuff that you may have missed momentarily. We need to take a timeout. When we come back, you are going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky. Is he going to start? How's he feeling? We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Big banks are not known for listening to people. You should talk to Lakeside Bank. They listen and actually help the average person, and they're just the right size to do, well, anything you need. Talk to Lakeside. They listen. Lakeside Bank. It's about time.
So you're selling your home. Don't you want the highest offer for the sale of your home? I mean, you don't want to leave any money on the table. Time for you to meet my friend Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity.
It's so funny. I was texting with Amy last night because, you know, I'm thinking about maybe getting back in the desert. My trip, I was like, I know Amy knows somebody down there that can help me out if I wanted to go buy a house. But if you're buying or selling a house here, Amy is the person that you want to talk to. If you're tired of all the drama and the empty promises, you need to call the agent that I would call, and I texted last night, Amy Kite. Here's a story of how well Amy works. Ken had an emergency situation, and he needed to sell his home ASAP. So he called my friend Amy Kite and her team, who work best on tight deadlines. Their marketing created the demand needed. 14 showings and 3 offers came in, selling the home in only 8 days. That allowed Ken to move on right on time. With Amy, you sit down, you set a price and a deadline. If your home isn't sold by that deadline, Amy can buy your home. Or if you prefer to rent out your home, Amy has a property management company that can help you do just that. Working with Amy doesn't obligate you to anything. If they aren't doing their job, she's going to let you out of the contract free and clear. Work with the agent that I would absolutely trust. The average agent in and around Chicagoland sells a few homes per year. Amy sells hundreds. Call Amy the pro at 847-877-9881 or online at amywillsellyourhome.com. That's amywillsellyourhome.com. You'll hear from Mitchell Trubisky coming up in a few minutes here on The Score. We just had a wonderful Bearsy conversation with Anthony Heron about the impact of Akeem Hicks not being in the middle of the Bears defensive line for the next 8 games at least. Kyle Long was put on IR. He may no longer be a Bear after this season. The injuries starting to pile up, including injuries to the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Trubisky just finished up at Hallis Hall talking with the media. So we'll get an idea of where things stand as we listen to maybe QB1 talk about what it was like over the last couple weeks of dealing with that injury to his non-throwing shoulder.
What have the last few weeks been like for you, rehabbing and watching?
Yeah, it's been tough. Obviously, you want to be out there with your team, but, I mean, stuff happens on the field, and just not being able to be out there with my guys hurts. But you try to help in any way you can, and then, obviously, I got to take care of business rehabbing and trying to get back to show everyone I could play.
How close to 100% do you feel right now?
I feel close.
To come out of the Redskins game and how positive that was and not be able to build on that, where did that sort of set you mentally and where does that leave you going into this game and now getting a chance?
Yeah, definitely. It's all part of the mental game. You feel good. You kind of felt like that was a turning point for me in this offense to hopefully jumpstart into the Vikings game and then kind of moving the ball down the field, and then 6 plays into it, you come out, and it's definitely frustrating, but you just go back to how I prepared mentally to go into that Washington game and try to get right back on with that mindset and come out here and practice with the guys and fly around and just go out there and do my job. So it is a big part of the mental game, and you just got to prepare mentally to go out there and do your job and be in the right mindset to make plays for your team.
Mitch, if you're not quite there at 100% just yet, what are the limitations you're feeling right now?
I'm sorry?
If you're not at 100% right now, what are the limitations that you're feeling?
Yeah, I think I just got to show the training staff and the coaches that my shoulder and everything is strong enough to be able to put me out there to withstand hits, to be able to do my job to 100%. And if I can show them throughout practice this week that I'm good to go and that I feel comfortable about where I'm at, because obviously you don't want to go out there if you don't feel like you could do your job or if it's impacting you in some type of way, holding you back. Just got to communicate that. We've done a good job with his rehab plan, again on the same page and just communicating, and hopefully once I show everyone that I'm good to go in practice this week, that they'll let me roll and not look back.
Mitch, are there any sort of things you picked up from your 2 games out last year that you've done this time around and go, oh, I can do this a different way that helps, or vice versa?
I think just overall how this offense is continuing to evolve and find different ways and what we've been struggling with and what areas we've kind of done well on offense. And for me, it was just trying to be the best team that I possibly can these last couple weeks, support Chase and Tyler the way they always support me, help my other teammates, what I see on the field from the sidelines and just being there for them. And it's always tough being out, but obviously we got some things we got to fix on offense, and it's just that continuing process of just pulling guys together, believing in it, and then just finding solutions to continue to get better as an offense.
Last year when you were throughout those few games really helped you to be on the sidelines, listening and paying attention and seeing things from a different advantage? Do you feel like it helped you this time around?
Yeah, it helps, but not really that much. It's a lot better playing. It helps playing. So, I mean, you try to make a positive out of a negative by, like, you can't play, and you try to make it positive by saying it helps be on the sidelines and supporting your guys. But I really think the best experience is obviously getting out there, getting the reps. Whether you make huge plays or mess up, I think that's how you get the best experience. But, I mean, stuff happens. Like I said, you can't go. You get hurt, and you just try to help your team and your teammates and your brothers as much as you possibly can. And that's what I tried to did while I was out. And
We all know the football player mentality. Do you trust yourself to tell the coaches if you're not ready, or do you feel like you're just going to say yes no matter what?
Yeah, that's tough, especially for me being the competitor. I think it's all about being smart and obviously trying to think long-term, trying to have the longest career as possible. But, I mean, I'm going to be honest with myself and everyone else in this building that if I can go, I'm going to go, and then there's no restrictions, no holding back. You're on the field, whether it's running, throwing, it really doesn't matter. If I say I can go, then you just got to go all out.
Mitch, we haven't talked to you since the injury. When you first did get hurt, was there a fear, oh, my God,
the season's over? How did your mind kind of process the pain that was going on?
Yeah, it was definitely painful, and I came out, and I was just thinking, I definitely wasn't thinking, is my season over or anything bad like that. I was more thinking of, if I can get it back going right, can I go back in and finish the game? And unfortunately, I couldn't, so they wouldn't let me go back in. And then for me, it was just like, taking it one day at a time from there. So just figuring out what it was, what we got to do, how long I'll be out, how quickly I can progress over the week and over the bye week and to potentially get back. So, you'd never want to think that detrimental or that negative, because that can really stink. But I was just thinking if I could go back in, and I couldn't.
Matt has said that some of this is going to be pain tolerance for you. Is it something that you feel every time you throw the ball, or are you more worried about contact?
That's a good question. Obviously, haven't gotten hit since then, and there always is some pain tolerance involved. I mean, this is football, so you just gotta figure out throughout the course of the week, I guess. And there are some ways we simulate getting hit, either with the pads or going through certain drills with the trainers to try to get you as ready as possible and to make sure I can go out there and do the job the way I know I can.
You kind of talk about throwing shoulder. Can you feel it when you throw the ball, or just is it pretty good when you're throwing?
It's pretty good when I'm throwing. Yeah.
Did they have to put it back in on the sideline?
It went back in. Yeah, it went back in. It's a weird feeling. It's not good.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Was it worse this year than it was last year? It was a different shoulder, but severe.
Yeah, another good question. It's different because it's not my throwing shoulder. And that's why I thought I might be able to go back in, because I'm like, oh, it's just my left arm. Maybe I could just catch a snap and be able to do all the handoffs and stuff and be able to throw. But I really couldn't move it. And so if what happened to this left shoulder, what happened to my right, we might be in a different situation, but it feels pretty good right now. So I'm going to go out there and practice, and if I can go, then it came back really quickly. So I'm pleased by the progress we made. A lot of credit to the training staff and just getting that recovery, and thank God it recovered quickly.
We're coming out of the bye week then, as you guys try to get this offense going. You know, as Matt has said, the numbers don't lie, and you guys are where you are. What can you do? You know, what are your focuses here?
Yeah, definitely.
Your play.
Just go back to what I know how to do. Work as hard as you possibly can. Make sure everyone's buying into the plan. And now you look at the results, but you can't dwell on those, because we know what type of talent we have on offense. And it comes down to cold-blooded execution. Is all 11 guys on the same page, doing their job, blocking the guys, going through my reads, getting the ball to the playmakers, and then using our natural ability to make plays. So finding those solutions to why we haven't been putting up the numbers that we know we can, and just going out there and working as hard as we possibly can and making sure everyone's bought in to that. And I know we got the right guys to do it, so it's just a matter of sticking to the process.
What were some of the things you think you guys were doing well before you got hurt? that you want to kind of build off?
Yeah, there were more flashes of anything. I think the main thing we got to do is definitely show consistency, but we had some plays where we had some big play potential, or we had some drives that we had some good plays, and then we kind of sputtered out and didn't finish the drives. We had some drives where we were good on second and third down, but we were so bad on first down that we put ourselves in a hard position to really convert and keep going. So I always tell the guys the first down is usually the toughest for us. So once we get that, we kind of get rolling, we gain some confidence, and we get going. So it's always one play at a time, but you really want to be good on first down and to give yourself a good chance to get going. So hopefully we'll have some things that open up, and we look at what we did the first couple games with some of the concepts, the runs, and what everyone's comfortable with, and get those going and get on the same page and make sure that we're just executing. So because that's pretty much what it all comes down to. If all 11 guys are doing their job, and we got enough talent to make it happen, we just got to believe in it.
Have you tried on a harness yet?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to try one on and wear it with my shoulder pads for them to let me play.
Have you talked to Miller about it last year?
Yeah, he actually cut his off last game in the middle of the game because he said it was restricting him. But mine's a little different because I don't need to necessarily catch, but I got to make sure I could be able to catch all the snap radiuses if something happens with that. So I've been practicing everything that you could pretty much simulate with the trainers as much as you can to make sure I could go out there and do what my team needs me to do.
There's been some changes to the offensive line since you played this game, since you've been out with an injury. How does that affect you?
Just coming back and try to play with confidence, and we're really tight with that whole O-line group, and they're a tight-knit group as well, so it's got to be a next-man-up mentality with them, and everyone's got to be on the same page, and we support one another and make sure we're communicating in meeting rooms, out on the practice field, and then when we get to game day as well. So we got to have guys step up. We got to play well together, and we just got to go out there and do our jobs.
That was Mitchell Trubisky at Halas Hall. A lot of people were texting in at 670-11, some of their thoughts on it. First things first, apparently Tony made the executive decision that he was not going to use the cliche counter. See, I'm not in charge of that. I don't have any board in front of me. Like inside the Score studios, there's just me, a microphone, and a board for me to look at the internet. The soundboard, that's all Tony. So, Tony, the people want to know, why was there no cliche counter this week?
Well, you know, first week back, you know, for him, he's coming off a pretty significant injury. And I just wanted to lay off him just for today, though.
You felt it would have been a tad disrespectful today.
Yeah, just only today, though.
But if he plays and then he talks again next week, cliche counter is...
We're back. We're back.
Because there was a lot there.
Oh yeah.
For that, but I also thought that he did a good job of kind of moving away from some of the cliched stuff. It was disheartening for him to have to be like, "Can I answer this question?" Like that little because clearly, like your shoulder's back in the socket, or else you wouldn't be practicing. So that was disappointing, but hearing what he said about the harness and the restriction of the harness, I thought was pretty cool. I want to have a bigger conversation about Mitchell in the next hour of the show. I want to do that. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. When we come back, I want to talk about Mitch. And you know we did the Is Mitch Good week. I want to talk about Is Mitch Good Enough. I'll explain what I mean after a timeout, and we'll hear from his quarterback coach inside the discussion. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.